Hello, and welcome back to Millennial 2021. I'm sorry that we're a bit behind schedule tonight, but I'm doing everything that I can. And I'm now here with a stream that I organized because I thought that people needed practical advice. I thought it was one of these, like the Woodlander. I thought it would be good to have someone on who could show an example for other people to follow instead of just talking about stuff. So it's a woman that I've known for quite a few years, and an American lady. And would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, yeah, it's so good to be on with you again. It has been quite a few years. I am Clarion, and I just started the Beginner Homesteader Homesteading Channel on Telegram. Woz reached out to see if I wanted to talk about homesteading here, and I do, because I think that it is something necessary and something beautiful, and I'm very happy to talk to anybody about it. So thanks very much for having me.
You're welcome. Now, homesteading is obviously something that we talk about and have talked about for some time. It goes along with prepping. It goes along with going off grid, detaching from the system to some extent. What were your motivations? Why did your family decide to homestead? And what do you mean by homesteading?
What do I mean by homesteading? I mean the opportunity for a family to go and produce our own food and come together as a family and kind of create a parallel to the greater society. I mean, we're definitely still in society, but a big motivation for us to start homesteading was figuring out that we are living in a society that is at the moment run by people who I don't want my family and my people to be reliant on to permit us to have the things that we need. So we decided, my husband and I decided quite a few years ago, that we were going to move into something where we could provide for ourselves and also for other people in the future, because that's what we think is going to be necessary. We also wanted to kind of, there's this ancient Celtic idea of the family Ra, and that is where you're supposed to be able to go outside of your door and see three other generations of your family within your own enclave. And so we kind of, you know, my husband and I are both Generation X, and we were raised, by the eternal boomer, if you will. And so they kind of decided that they were going to break the linkage with their families and like go and do their thing. And so my husband and I are deciding to try to recreate what used to be the norm. And that was that families are together. So we wanted to also, we were living in Florida. It was a really, really expensive area of Florida that we were living in. And we looked around and thought, our children will never be able to afford to live here until they're really like well established. So we also wanted to move so that our children would not have to move as soon as they were adults, which I don't know how much that resonates with other people outside of just like the homesteading, wanting to give your people and your family the opportunity to eat, regardless of whether or not people who run the system want you to be able to eat. But
yes, I think that the economic realities are becoming quite harsh for a lot of ordinary people. And as you alluded to, the idea of being able to buy your own house, at least in Britain, I would expect that this is less the case in America, but perhaps you can talk about that. At least in Britain, the idea of owning your own house and, you know, buying your first house in your 20s is much less. It's much more distant to a lot of people now than I think it was 40 years ago, for example. Like when our parents were our age, it was a different world. So what would you say about that?
Yeah, that's I think that you're right, that it is more severe where you are, but it's becoming that here, even in the more rural areas, especially as people start being able to disconnect from the cities with Wi-Fi and remote work and a lot to do with COVID. Even the rural areas are starting to price people in their 20s who are just starting to like price them out. Even rentals, people are getting priced out of here. And I think that's by design. And so we wanted to, and I really hope that others will do the same thing. We wanted to own our own thing and be able to help our children to not have to like live in the pod in a few years, because I have teenage daughters, so I don't have little children. We're like right on the precipice of our daughters coming into their own adulthood, and it just doesn't look that promising in that model that was for a little while here. You know, we kind of have a short memory as a people. This model that, like, you know, when you're 18, you move out, and when you're 20, you know, you get married and you buy a house in the suburbs. And that's a pretty modern model of how to live anyway. But I don't. And so now that modern model is starting to be closed as an opportunity to a lot of people. People are starting to kind of be like, well, you know, we only have these scraps that are left over to us by the people who run society. So now I guess we're just going to have to like get in the pod and eat the bug or whatever.
Yeah, this is the thing. I think our parents and grandparents and many generations before that had the idea that our society was ours and it worked for our benefit. It existed partly for our benefit and that it works to facilitate us. But that clearly is no longer the case.
Clearly.
At multiple levels. And you know, you could talk about property ownership. Yeah, you could talk about wealth acquisition. You could also talk about employment. One of the things that I always remember about Fight Club is that awful that evocation of the modern male in the workplace, where he's in a cubicle. It's a sort of anonymous office where it's a terrible, dehumanizing, unmotivating, draining environment, and the work he does has no tangible end. It has no tangible purpose. It's just make work and going through procedures and processes. That's another part thing that we could get onto. Homesteading. I think one of the things that people talk about, say about it, is that it brings you back to a sense of reality, a sense of interacting with the real world.
Yeah. When my husband and I were talking about our opportunity with the Beginner Homesteader Telegram channel, which we actually started, we didn't even start it for anybody else. It was just going to be this place that he and I put some information that we needed access to. But we talked a lot about, you know, why we homestead and why people should homestead and what we have found. And it is that humanizing factor. Like we knew a lot of things theoretically, right, before we started homesteading, which is a big thing. Like, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to theoretically be an expert to even start homesteading, but that's a different issue. But that the humanization of humans, again, you know, is what we're doing here. Instead of being like these dehumanized cogs where we're just, it's just a desperate existence, really is what is constructed for us. But when you come back to what was always until very recently, what people did, it's just this whole, the whole person through a whole day with a whole season and a whole year. I mean, it's just a wholeness that you just don't get at all outside. It's just, it's so much less fragmented to be on the land and to be doing things as a family than it is to be the cog in the cubicle. It is a very humanizing experience.
I imagine it's quite fulfilling in ways that you probably didn't foresee.
Yeah, in ways that we didn't foresee. That is, you know, it's really interesting. I didn't realize this is something that's just very, very small and specific, but I'm sure that you can extrapolate this as an illustration of how the myriad of things like this that happen every day when you're living like this. The idea that our life is no longer, I mean, we have electricity. This is not where I'm going with this, but the idea that so much of our life is tied to the sun and the moon and the light that is not electrified, you know, like when we go out into the pasture and it's night there. Like it's pitch night and the stars are out and the moon may be out. And when we get up in the morning, it's still dark and we sit on the porch every morning and my husband and I have our coffee. That's a very quiet time that he and I spend together. And the sun comes up and the sun comes up over the hill of our valley and starts to illuminate the valley from darkness to light. Like that idea is the naturalness of that is something that I didn't even realize that we were missing until we left, you know, a suburban existence where it's like, it's always the same time in the house because nothing is tied to outside of the house and the light switch is always there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's like always the same in a house. But that beauty that we have when we are outside is something that it just makes you so much more aware of who you are and who God is. It's just beautiful. And I never would have thought that just the idea of like being outside when God is in charge of when it's light or dark it's just things like that all through the day that you don't even realize if you can get yourself out of the cubicle.
So that's great. I don't mean to dismiss it. I've just realized that we didn't actually begin by outlining what homesteading is.
Oh, right.
we definitely should do that. So, please explain for people.
I think I listened to the Woodlander Millennial, which was awesome. And I've listened to him many times before. You know, he's doing something that is similar, but different than what we're doing. And other homesteading families that I know, or I know of, it's all different. I think that at its core and maybe people would disagree with this. I think at its core that homesteading is about being able to provide for yourself and for those people who you love, food, which is real and healthful and available. I mean, that's for me, but again, like we came here because I really feel like we have felt like for several years that we're hated. My family and I are hated in many ways by the society. We like check all the boxes of like, you know, we're not going to be, you know, we're not going to be controlled and subjugated by, you know, being told what is going to be injected into our body. We're not doing it. You know, we're white. We're not going to apologize for being white. Like we're Christians. We're not going to give up on our God. You know, like we're just check, check, check. Like everything that this society, how it's being run right now, it's temporary, but how it's being run right now hates us. So for us, homesteading is about disconnecting ourselves from the necessity of society. I mean, like we have cars, you know, like we have a car and we have electricity and we go places and here I am on the internet with you. I mean, you know, we have we live very average, apparently average lives, but we know that what we're moving towards is being able to not have to live at the mercy of a system that has no mercy for anybody like me.
Yeah. I understand that, but can you define what homesteading is?
Well, for me, for my family, homesteading is the opportunity to live the way that we want to live. It's freedom. And not in some kind of like my freedom, liberty, council way, you know, yeah. But like it is us being free to say, like my husband has another job or had another job. I mean, this is not, you know, we've only been able to complete and bring this property to fruition in May. So we're still doing the bit, you know, and he was fired because he will not get injected. So, but we're also in a position where he was more able to say no more easily. I think for me, homesteading is in a position that you can say yes to what you want to say yes to and no to what you want to say no to.
Right. And how do you get to that? I mean, does this involve living off grid, drawing your own power, growing your own food? What have you done or what do you intend to do?
Well, right now we are growing animals for food. This coming spring, we have our garden planned out and our seedling operation going. So we'll be able to grow vegetable food. I don't think right now, like today, we don't need to be off grid, like off power grid, you know, the whole thing. We don't need that because the people who are in charge still permit us to have electricity, right? Like, so it's a positive. I don't think that anybody can move into homesteading that is doing it for either wholly positive or wholly negative reasons. And what I mean by that is there are people who want to homestead for wholly positive reasons. I want to be closer to my family. I want to be closer to the earth. I want to eat healthful food that I know how it was made and where it's come from and all that. Those are very positive reasons. And we have those positive reasons. We also have negative reasons. We don't want to be at the mercy of people who hate us. We don't want to be inundated.
This is a concern that is increasingly at the forefront of people's minds, because obviously the system is moving in on dissidents,
right,
of every kind, but especially nationalist, identitarian, what they would call white supremacists, and it's also getting its tentacles into every little corner of your life. Increasingly, subscriptions. So you don't just buy a product. Like in the old days, it's an ongoing connection to that company, that corporation. It is quite frightening that there's a sense of, loss of control. Let's put it that way. I'm not surprised that people in response to that are thinking about, well, how can I do the opposite so as to maximize my independence and self-sufficiency? Do you think eventually you'll generate your own power, for example?
Yeah, I mean, that's our plan. That's our plan. When we were looking for a property, which is something that I want to start talking about on the channel, like how to find where it is that you like, not every person is going to want the same place and have the same goals and all that. But we have constructed a way that you can really, as an individual, figure out, you know, this is what my family needs and wants. What my family needed and wanted was the opportunity to move into complete self-sufficiency. And so we were like, we want a property that has its own water source. We want a property that is wooded for these particular reasons. And we also want to be able to create our own power. Ultimately, we just want to be able to be our own. We don't want to be subscribed, right? We want to own. We don't want to be subscribed to some kind of subscription service that can determine that I think the wrong thought, so now I don't get to have my subscription to electricity anymore, right? So I want to be able to provide for myself. And then also from like a communitarian perspective, there are a lot of our people who don't really understand what's coming. The way that I understand it, you know, or people who will come along later and be like, wow, I'm surprised by this. And so we want to create some kind of place where people can catch their breath, kind of.
Before we get to that, can you outline, and you just went into a bit, but there might be more that you could say. What were you looking for in a property suitable for homesteading? What should other people be aware of?
Okay. That really meat and potatoes kind of thing as far as finding a property. The biggest mistake that we made finding a property, I'll start with my mistake first, because I think this is a very common mistake. We really thought that we needed a lot more property than what we need. Like, we really bought a lot of property. We could have really lived and done the things that we wanted to do with a smaller property in the right setting. So anybody who's listening, who's like, I want a homestead, but my budget doesn't permit for me to have a very, very much land, or I don't know where very much land is or whatever. I know now of a lot of different homesteads that are really producing a lot of bounty in all the different ways, food and joy and all these things, for families that are like literally on 1 to 3 acres. So determine what it is that you want. And for us, we wanted to kind of raise bigger animals. So we needed bigger property. If you don't want to raise big animals, if you don't want to run cattle or whatever, you don't need as much property. You can have much less property. For us, we looked at a website. This is for the Americans, a website called statisticalatlas.com. And you can go there and see the statistics of every area. And when I mean area, I mean like sub zip codes, like not just states, not just cities, not just towns, like neighborhoods. You can break it down into really small geographical areas. And you can also break it down by age, which is really important, because the young people who live in an area, that's the future of the area. Like the 0 to 4 year olds population is what we were looking at. We wanted to live in an area where our children were not going to be a hated minority in a generation. So we were looking at the statisticalatlas.com for a place where the 0 to 4 population was at least 80% white. We were looking for an area that had a rural setting for doing what we want to do, but also with access to a more urban setting, to give us access to forever, as long as, you know, who knows when the next lockdown is coming, right? Who knows when our subscription to being able to like go places is going to be, you know, taken away. But we wanted access to an urban area. We also wanted our children knowing that, like, they, you know, if things go along, you know, the wheels don't fall off this bus, you know, anytime really soon, you know, they might want to live in a city for a while, or they might want to work in a city for a while. So we lived in it. We chose an area that would be close to those kinds of service and economic access for them. We wanted a place that had water, either a stream or a spring or a deep well. We wanted a place that was wooded, because we want to be able to heat our own selves with our own wood. We also wanted the privacy that a wooded acreage provides. So we have a lot of woods here. I'm trying to think of what, like, we had a long list and we found it. But, and this is also the thing too, is that I want to encourage people that if they feel like they are constrained by a particular geographical area, there are still ways that you can find a lot of what you want where it is that you want it. Like, my husband and I were really willing to just like move. live wherever we wanted. But again, we don't really have an amazing family. So, but if we did, I would have wanted to either bring them with us or to stay close, because that's imperative, right? The love of a family is an imperative in all times, but especially in hard times. So I'm talking about, you know, this big long list, and look at Statistical Atlas, but people can also find pretty much all the things near to where they are. We have lived in a lot of places across the United States and outside of the United States too. But inside the United States, a lot of places have so much to offer that people don't even realize, because they just, you know, people don't have a lot of understanding of even their locale, because everybody's so kind of insular, which is, as we know, right? Like, very isolating experience living in modernity. So a lot of people don't even know what's like an hour from their house, you know? So it's really, I just want to, there are ways that people can very practically find very practical things that they need. You don't have to go and like live in the woods in Alaska alone in a cabin to be a homesteader.
No, I think that social aspect of it is something that people do, that people are concerned about, because some people do want to be isolated. I mean, there's no doubt about that. There are people who just want to get away from civilization, get away from even community. But then there are other people who really need community, and they really need to have a built-up area, a residential area nearby that they can take part in.
Oh, and that's us. That's us big time. One thing that I have learned when I came into nationalism, one of the greatest revelations to me was the truth that community exists, and we're meant to be in community. We're not meant to be in isolation. And not only that, nationalist community for us has been the greatest, most edifying community that we've ever been a part of. So for us, it was also a very big consideration to us, where can we move where there are other nationalists? Because that's really what we wanted. But I'm a very big proponent of community. If people want to go and live in the woods by themselves, I mean, by all means, that's their prerogative. But to homestead, you don't have to do that. We're not doing that. Right. We're very community oriented.
Right. Okay. On a different note, you mentioned earlier that you think a lot of people don't quite realize what is coming. Without obviously going too far into details that might be incendiary, could you outline what you think is, what you believe is coming?
I'm framing in my own mind so that I don't go out of bounds into some area we don't really want to get into online. But I think that what's coming is already what's here. I guess that's a good way to put it. A few years ago, I remember, for instance, I like to give very specific examples, but recognize that this, you know, I have many very specific examples like this. I know that you will remember quite a number of years ago now. It was at least, what, like 3 years ago at least. The National Health System, NHS?
Yes.
There was some man that was denied medical treatment because he exhibited some kind of racist ideology. Do you remember this?
Exactly. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what happened.
I can't remember. There's so many happenings. It's hard to remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like when that happened, that was at least 3 years ago. When that happened, I said, it is coming, for instance, that people who don't think the right thoughts, and I don't think the right thoughts, my family doesn't think the right thoughts, that the people who don't think the right thoughts are going to be denied medical care, for instance. Well, you know, fast forward 3 years, I'm here in the United States. 1 year ago, you know, like I still have a small presence on Facebook, and I had a 1-year memory today come up from Facebook that a year ago, when the vaccine was starting to come out, that a year ago today, the conversation was being held about prioritizing non-whites over whites for these reasons. What, like, they had their reasons, you know, they tried to make them sound legitimate or whatever. But the conclusion of it was that there was going to be a limited number of vaccines and white people were not going to be given the vaccine. Fast forward to today, from then, we have the antibody treatment that is being used to treat people who actually, you know, have COVID and have it seriously enough that they have to have some kind of hospital treatment. White people, again, there's ostensible reasons for why, you know, it's not because you're white, it's because of these other health considerations. But the conclusion of it is that white people, this rationed healthcare that we have, the rationed amount of antibody treatment, white people are being denied antibody treatment. So that's just one example. So if you had asked me like 5 years ago, why do you want to go homestead? I would have said 5 years ago, I think a time is coming when white people are going to be denied medical care. I would have said that to you 5 years ago. 3 years ago, I had evidence that yes, what I have been thinking for several years is starting to happen. And it started happening in Britain, and now it's happening in the United States, and it will continue happening. I think that what is going to be happening in the future can be categorized under one large umbrella of white people are going to be denied necessities, whether that necessity is medical care, food, going to the grocery store, having a job. You know, like we're denied jobs all the time. Now, you know, under the auspice of diversity, whatever, et cetera, you know, so it's like, what is coming? Well, what is coming is what is already here, but we're just going to have more of it. And it's going to become more blatant. 5 years ago, if I had said this, a lot of people, not everybody, many nationalists even would have said, oh, well, that's so far in the future. We're going to get things in hand long before that happens. And here we are. 5 years later, and the things that I was saying 5 years ago are coming, are already here, and they're just going to get worse. Yeah. That's what I think is coming, what's already here.
I mean, in terms of affirmative action or positive discrimination, as it's called in Britain, that's absolutely, that's been here for years now. Right. So and it is just, for want of a better word, it is just racism. It's just it's worse even because it's systematized racism. It's expected racism. It's incentivized racism, except that we are the victims of it. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous that we tolerate this in our own societies. But of course, people do. They've been hoodwinked into believing that it's for the best. I mean, I don't know how long that will continue, actually, but we wait for the normies to wake up, and we wait a long time. To get back to homesteading, because I want this to be a positive thing.
Yes.
Can you outline, because this is something that I think a lot of people think is just too difficult. It's kind of like crypto. They think, it might well be beneficial to me, but it's so baffling and difficult and a challenge. I can't be bothered even getting started. I'm not even going to look into it because I just know it would be too difficult. It would be too much. So can you give them some words of advice?
Start now. Like, it is not what you think. And this is kind of the Beginner Homesteader channel is my lived evidence that you can just start. You know, like, you don't have to be an expert. And that's what I think holds people up. Like you said, it's so baffling, right? Like every day we learn something new. And the learning curve for homesteading, any kind of homesteading, or any kind of anything really, but homesteading specifically, the learning curve for homesteading is very steep, but it's very fast. It's very fast. So it's kind of like when we first got chickens, right? We were like, oh my gosh, like we're going to get these chickens, you know, like, you know, reading like so many books and watching like 15,000 hours of videos about getting chickens. I can tell you this, chickens are so easy. We were like, chickens were the first thing that we did. So it was just like this huge moment, you know, of like, oh, the chickens. I am telling you, anybody who's listening, regardless of the fact that there are tomes out there of how to raise chickens and how your 10,000 ways your chickens can die, you know, like that book, don't get that book. I have that book. Do not get that book. What you do is you just start. Right. And then you learn and you learn so quickly. And we haven't had any catastrophes, just learning and saying, you know what, this is what we're going to do. And always remembering, like, our people did this for millennia. Right. Like, our people were the ones that learned animal husbandry, learned agriculture. Like that's in our people. Like every person who came before me did this. I mean, that's just, that alone should make everybody know, like, you can do this. You can do this. It is not nearly as hard. I think it's like I think it must be a psyop of some sort for it just to be in this, in the cultural consciousness that homesteading is hard. It is not hard. It is not hard. It is sometimes very hard work. It is sometimes frustrating, but it is not anything impossible. It is possible for anyone to homestead. Anyone.
There are two simultaneous myths about it in the culture. The first is that it's very hard, but the other is that it's something for idiots. It's something for ignorant rednecks to do, and sophisticated people would never lower themselves to doing something like that.
What you've just said there, it just is evidence that this has got to be a psyop, because like you said, it is simultaneously only the lowest people do it, and also only the smartest people can do it. Like it is a psyop. And it's got to be because it's beautiful and it gives you so much freedom. It gives you so much freedom just to be able to do, you know, like that idea. Say yes to what you want to say yes to and say no to what you want to say no to.
Right. I'll get to the questions now. Let's see. Because there were actually quite a few questions here. Okay, here we go. How do you make enough money to support yourselves? Particularly in the US, health insurance is expensive if you don't have a full-time job. What would you want to say about that? I'm not sure if you want to... You go.
I will say two things. Number one, I know a lot of people who their homestead is the entirety of their income. And they make it work with lots of kids and whatever. And they do that. And so there are people who can really speak to that. My husband has had until like this month, has had another job. So I can't speak to how you would make homesteading your whole, but many, many people do it. That's just not us until now. Like maybe next millennium, I'll have like an amazing answer about how we've spent the last year just making money from the homestead as we've been like figuring out how we might be able to do that. So maybe next year I'll have a great answer.
Oh, that would be good. And I wish you luck with that. Best layer chicken breeds.
The best chickens that we have had are Barred Rock and Buff Orpington. And I will tell you that the things that we love about Barred Rock and Buff Orpington is that they are not only excellent layers, like Buff Orpingtons will definitely lay an egg a day, but they are also dual purpose birds. So you can have you can have chicken to eat that is not they're both heritage breeds. So they have not had any kind of like weird genetic breeding done to them. Like where, like, okay, you ready for this, Woz? There is a chicken that has been created that the hatchery that has created the chicken guards their secret so well, but it's called X rock. The X, it's a barred rock and an X and something else. And it's super guarded secret. And that chicken will come to full maturity. I think it's in like 6 weeks. But before it's sexually mature, so you cannot breed it yourself, you cannot incubate your own eggs. And if you don't kill it at that time, it will die from becoming too large to support itself. I don't want to eat that.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? That's pretty sick.
Yeah, it very strange. So get Barred Rock and or Buff Orpington. They are excellent egg layers. They get big enough that they are good meat birds. You can incubate their own eggs. Buff Orpingtons are excellent mothers. If you want to let them do their own brooding and their own hatching and their own raising of the chicks, and you won't ever have to do weird stuff with the hatchery.
All right. Okay, and the next, someone says about, that's very useful because people now know those two breeds.
And that's the kind of thing that we're trying to do on Beginner Homesteader, is like really get down to the meat and potatoes of like, this is what to do, and or on things that we really know about, like chickens now. And then also, hey, this is the best of our research on something we are about to do, because we're not experts. We're beginner homesteaders. So anybody who wants to jump over there, they can be part of a community where we can all be kind of coming together to learn together.
Yeah. And I've linked to it below so people can, awesome, can take a look. Somebody says this is Gus Faze. In Fight Club, it was even worse, as his job was to decide whether or not it was worth pulling dangerous vehicles off the market according to an economic calculation.
Oh, my God.
I'd forgotten that.
I had too. Yeah, you don't want to spend your life figuring out how to figure out what's more valuable, like the shekel or the person in the car. You don't want that job.
Yeah. In my country, you can't get, this is from anonymous pay chat. In my country, you can't get planning permission for building a home in a low population density area. It's called called cluster living. Climate change is the excuse, e.g. shorter traveling distances for commutes.
Oh my God.
Everyone will need to live in towns and cities. Houses need to be insulated, etc. I don't know which country that is. But yeah, this is something that I can imagine them clamping down on this, where they'll actually just force people to live together. Because climate change is going to be a fantastic pretext for all sorts of, right, for diktats like this. It's frightening. Okay. Someone says, I have a $300,000 mortgage in Nevada. I now realize that we messed up. The banks own us. What do we do now? We have two young kids as well. Can't just pack up and move. Thoughts?
Yeah, I have two thoughts. One is a very practical, logistical thing of the market is so hot right now for single family homes in this country, for a lot of reasons that have to do with the way that BlackRock and these other the conglomerates that are buying up single family homes. So like now is the time to sell your $300,000 house in Nevada. On a broader note of like, we can't just pack up our two kids and move. Of course, I don't know that person's very specific situation, but I will say that 99% of people who think that they can't move can and should. People get invested in this idea of like, well, this is where our kids go to school, or this is where my cubicle is, or whatever it is that they say, which is really all boils down to, it's hard. It's hard to move. It's hard to do something different. It's easy to just continue on until, your passport to buy groceries expires, and then your family starves to death in your $300,000 home in Nevada or whatever. But you can move. Like 99% of people can move. I've moved. Many, 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 many people have moved as they have seen, you know, the dehumanized society that we're living in, and then the trajectory that if we continue moving on the same trajectory, it's not getting any better. So you can definitely move, and you should definitely move. And this is a great time to sell your house.
Yeah. Of course, regarding the children, I imagine that a concern of his will be how to educate them. You'd have to move them to a new school, or you'd have to homeschool. And of course, this is part of homesteading as well, isn't it? For some people.
Yes. And I don't actually know any homesteaders who don't homeschool, because homeschooling is kind of like the kind of people who are homesteading are definitely the kind of people who are homeschooling. Long before my husband and I ever contemplated homesteading, we were homeschooling. So we homeschool, but it's actually a little bit more difficult, quite honestly, I think, for parents of homeschoolers to move than it is for parents of institutional schoolers to move. Because when you move from A to B and you're in an institution, you just get plugged into the new institution. So it's not really, you know, it's just like that, you know, you just get plugged in with a different stranger teaching your children and different children for your children to hang around with, you know, and you just, there it is. There's the little red schoolhouse, and that's where you go. With homeschooling, you have to find a whole new homeschooling community, which is totally doable. And we've done it here. We live in Kentucky now. We've done it here, and it's fantastic, actually, the homeschooling community that we've gotten plugged into. But the fact that your children need a better future should definitely mold what your children's present is, right? Like, I'm not going to, you know, we left Florida because my children's future there was, you know, the demographics of Florida and the cost of Florida, both, and the economy of Florida is almost wholly tourism based. So it was like the economy was no good for people starting out. It was extremely expensive for people starting out. And, the race demographic was just a slow creep from the South upward that they were going to be dissolved. They were going to be, you know, demographically replaced within a generation or two. So all of those reasons made us moving to children, which we did, it wasn't even a thought, you know. It's like, well, this is what we have to do for their future. So that's like from a parental perspective, you want to move when you have two kids, right? Or one kid, like you want to move. You want to move where they are going to have the best future.
Yeah, yeah, I can understand. Okay, and then finally, someone says, "Good chat." Well, thank you very much. I'll just check entropy. And okay, I think we can wrap it up there. So can you give any just final encouraging thoughts about homestead for anyone who might be considering it?
Do it. You like just it is so amazing and so beautiful. Positive reasons and negative reasons, all of the reasons on paper pale in comparison to actually experiencing this. Like, just do it. And I will say that there's no reason not to do it. And there are many reasons to do it. And every person, an external circumstance will always result in your action or reaction, right? That's just the nature of the world. So make your choice now before a choice is forced on you. make your choice now to go and do this thing. It is so beautiful. It's absolutely doable. It's doable all over the United States. It's doable on 1 acre. It's doable on many, many more acres than 1 acre. I have seen people do this with living below the poverty line. I have seen people homestead. It is so doable. And if you get into the homesteading community, you will be able to find somebody who has a very similar situation to you, who you can really lean on them to give you the way forward. This is not a thing that's just for one kind of person in one kind of place for one reason. Anybody can do this and everybody should do this. It is beautiful. You will reclaim your humanity from this like dehumanizing modern shit show that we're all having to live through. And the future will be so bright for you and yours.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks so much.
Yeah. In the meantime, people can follow your Telegram channel. I hope that many people do. And that will give them ideas and encouragement. And I hope that many people, well, I hope that many people are inspired to go down this route.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I just adore you. And I just think that you have provided such a gift to the community year in and year out. And thanks so much for having me.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say so. I'm just sorry about the scheduling difficulties.
Oh, no problem. That in homesteading, you learn patience.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'll be back very shortly with Praise of Folly.
Okay.
In the meantime, thank you, Beginner Homesteader Clarion from Beginner Homesteader, for appearing on Millennial.
See you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Millennial Woes has created many things, and this is your chance to own one of them. A unique piece of work handcrafted by the Vile Vlogger to commemorate Millennial 2021. 100 hours of highly skilled labor went into producing this animated vector graphic, which can be magnified to any size. In the iconic Millennial Woes font, it glistens and responds to your touch. And at the center of it all, a figure representative of 2021, the white stag, symbolizing endurance, discovery, and rejuvenation. This one-of-a-kind creation is up for sale as an NFT. Follow the link below, and it can be yours forever. This is your only chance.